Oh, I gotta wake my ass up at 6 a.m. every day this week. Drag up to Las Galindas. Yeah, I'm doing the drywall up there at the new McDonald's.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. Shit, no, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Hey, Peter. Watch out for your cornhole, man.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Podcast. We are your hosts today, Zach, Raj, and TJ.
Hey there.
Hey.
So we got like a mishmash smorgasbord potpourri of an episode here for you guys. We're going to do the trends. We're going to do the weekend preview. We're going to do the mailbag all in one episode. We are FHF Hockey. You guys can find us on Twitter at FHF Hockey. You can join the Fantasy Hockey Discord. Get your mailbag questions in on there. Get your trend submissions in on there if you like. And just talk hockey. Let's start with news and notes. Arizona. We talked about Nick Schmaltz in the last episode. And they did it again. Arizona is scoring a lot of goals. A lot of goals.
They scored a lot.
So I'm going to ask a question. Do we think that continues?
Sorry. In the last 2 weeks, they have like 7 players over a point per game in the last 5 games. And I think that's probably the only time that's going to happen in the next few years.
Let me read you a stat. So just in the last week, the goals for per game leaders in the NHL, number one, Arizona Coyotes, number two, the Montreal Canadiens, and number three, your Vancouver Canucks.
What kind of topsy-turvy world are we living in? Just whoa.
Alternate timeline going on here.
I think there was a point where those were the bottom three teams this year, actually. When the Canucks were at their lowest, I think those were the worst.
We're in bizarro world. Strangely enough, like Arizona actually has a winning record in the last 10 games. Montreal the same way. Vancouver Canucks the same way. So it's just a stretch of 10 games that all three of these teams are having like a pretty good run. Montreal, I think, and Vancouver are both 7-3-0. I think Arizona might be 6-4-0 in their last 10. Strange times. Strange times.
Yeah, they scored 8 goals against the Senators, who scored 5 goals against them. Mm-hmm. And then they scored 9 goals against the Red Wings. Now, I'm not saying that's not like a shit ton of fucking goals or anything like that.
You're shooting fish in a barrel at this point.
Let's see how they do against, tougher matchups. Now, luckily for them, the Maple Leafs are just spewing goals. They're just letting them out for free. So that might be an interesting matchup. They might be able to continue, but then they play the Bruins and Jeremy Swayman. And then they go back to the Senators. But I think it's going to stop here. I think the Bucks going to stop here against the Maple Leafs. I'm saying it. I'm saying that they don't score more than 2 goals. I say they lose.
Ooh. I take the over. I think, with trade deadline and everything coming up, a lot of these Coyotes are doing well for themselves to kind of boost their trade value. Not that it really does anything for the player.
Nothing to lose.
Okay, so in Toronto, Michael Bunting takes the rookie points leader and is still like vastly under-rostered compared to the other points leaders in Zegras and Raymond and Mo Sider. Michael Bunting, leading rookies. Put him in leagues with Zegras and Mo Sider and Lucas Raymond. He's got to get rostered at this point.
And Austin Matthews took over the goal lead too.
Yes, he did. First to 40. And there are some Toronto beat writers. So we'll start there. There's a little bit of bias that are putting out articles right now that are saying that Austin Matthews is the greatest player in the world right now.
Yeah, they are.
Let's have a pragmatic discussion here. Is Austin Matthews better than Connor McDavid?
No.
Right now?
No, he's not.
No. And I am a huge supporter of Austin Matthews. Mm. I was actually listening to that game on my way home when he got to the, when he got the hat trick, got to 40 and everything like that. I was like, man, sure do love that guy.
He's good.
Remember I traded for him in his rookie year. And he has been owned by nobody else.
He's very, very good, but I just think, I don't think anybody.
He's not Connor McDavid.
I don't think any player, just McDavid is the best in the world. It's just, it's boring to say that at this point, but I don't think.
Well, I'll give this to him. Matthews plays a lot more defense than he ever used to when he was younger.
For sure.
He didn't play shit for defense. He played a 100-foot game and that's it.
So here's my observation on this thing. Auston Matthews right now is on pace for 114 points. In a full season, Connor McDavid put up 114 points. We would think that was a down year at this point.
Exactly.
So that's where I'm at with this whole conversation. Like, you know, they're going to go tit for tat for a while, and that's going to be great. Like, it'll be the Crosby and Ovechkin, right? Because Connor McDavid's doing a little bit of everything, and Auston Matthews is a trigger. He's got the shot. He's obviously a good goal scorer. He's on pace for, what, 65 at this point? It's ridiculous.
Yay.
I see parallels there. I see an Ovi and I see a Crosby. I see the new generation of that rivalry born between these two players. So one can be the greatest goal scorer of his era and the other can be the greatest, you know, all around player, whatever you want to call it. That's how I see it.
Only one of them plays in Toronto though. So we know who's always going to, they're always going to be edging for as much as I love the guy to death. But Mr. Merrick this morning on his show was trying to say that Matthews right now is as good as Gretzky's 50 goals in 39 games. That's the Toronto media for you.
Yeah, I mean, he can calm down on that. And I do. I love Auston Matthews, and I'll be the first one to tell you that, yeah, they can calm down with all that business.
I love seeing him and Marner put it together. And, like, I just love seeing people be that fucking awesome all around. It's nice as opposed to watching, like, McDavid score his whatever he's going to get, 120, 130 points, and just be fucking angry the whole time. Much prefer to see the way Matthews and Marner are doing it right now and actually enjoying life, at least.
Next up, I got the New Jersey Devils on here. They're playing pretty well. Their last 10, they're only 5-5-0, so, you know, 500 record. But over the last month, they are fourth in the league in goals for per game. They're top 10 in goals allowed, too. So we're looking at a ton of high-scoring games. If you're thinking about, you know, adding one of their goalies, trying to hop on this trend early, maybe that's not the best idea because they're scoring, but they're also letting up a ton of goals. They are a top 10 power play team. You're looking at Jack Hughes with 18 points in his last 11, a 95-point pace on the season. Jesper Bratt doing his thing. He's got 11 points in 7 games, 85-point pace for the season. Dawson Mercer, 5 points in his last 5. Heischer's got 14 in the 11-game span, same as Jack Hughes. Pavel Zacha, way down on line 3. 4 points in his last 4. Igor Sharangovich, 10 points in his last 11. Everybody is enjoying some really good luck over this last 11-game span. There's a ton of people that are hot. Against some mixed opponents, you got, you know, Colorado here, Ottawa there, St. Louis, Montreal. So, like, really up and down. But the Devils, there's a ton of streaming options that we can go through. I mean, Jack Hughes has got to be the highest rostered guy there. But, like, what do you guys think? Are any of these players worth picking up at this point? Like, Jesper Bratt is 61. Jack Hughes, 76. So, like, everybody else is a just-go check. And then Heischer is out right now, but he's 33. Sharangovich, 12. Like, man, these guys are out there. What do we think?
I always have good luck with Sharangovich, personally. And I love his tri-eligibility. But prior to getting a couple of points in the last game, he's streaky. He's had a 3-game pointless drought. And then before that, he scored in 5 games straight or something like that. I always have good luck with him. They've got a ton of people getting power. They have 10 people with power play points in the last 10 games. So it's pretty spread out, actually. The whole team's really putting it in the net.
What about you, Zach? Like, if, you know, let's just talk about the guys that are available. You know, Jack Hughes, obviously, just go check, 24% of leagues, he's out there. Nico Heischer out right now, but he is 33% owned. Then you got Sharangovich, Mercer. Who do you like the most here? Like, who would be your guy?
Damon Severson.
Okay.
I still like Damon Severson for the sole fact of he's still getting that time on ice, he's still getting the power play. And he, you know, did slow down a little bit on points. He only has a goal and an assist in his last 4, but he did just get a goal in his last game. But it's the defense. It's the defense for me. I'm always having trouble picking up defense. So when I find a defenseman that is worth holding on to for a little bit, then I'm going to do it. And Damon Severson is that defenseman that I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. 11 points in his last 12 over the last 30 days. Still riding power play 1. Shooting two times a game, hits blocks once each. Great.
Other than that, out of the players that you had named, man, I'm like on the fence here, I guess, between Pavel Zacha and Dawson Mercer. I really like Dawson Mercer. I really like the way he plays, and I like what they use him for. Oddly enough, I get stuck watching a lot of Devils games in general. So I see these players, and man, they use that kid a lot. You know what I mean? They use him in a lot of situations. He's getting more time on ice, you know, than a Blake Coleman, who we love and who I said is going to be my week-long pickup. But I mean, Dawson Mercer got, you know, almost 19 minutes time on ice their last game against Colorado. He's generally always up around, you know, 16, 17 minutes on average. I love that for such a young kid to get that amount of ice time on top of having 34 points in his 57 games that he's played this year as a rookie. That's huge. That's huge. I like Dawson Mercer a lot, and I like him going forward a lot. In fact, I think that their whole, the core that they have developed in-house, because that's how they've done it. They've done all this in-house, which is actually pretty impressive. And I hate the fucking Devils.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you everything but Hamilton. You know, they brought in Hamilton. But everything else, man.
And we're not even talking about Hamilton.
Yeah, not Hamilton at this point.
Hamilton almost seems like, honestly, it feels like they could be doing all of this without Hamilton. At the way I see it is he's an unnecessary contract.
Since he's been back here in the last seven games, Severson's playing almost 4 minutes a night more. He's got more points. He's got more power play points. I don't think it's as bad, but it's looking a little bit like Subban 2.0.
Do you think they're juicing Severson's value?
Oh, no. They got to keep him.
You think so? They got Ty Smith. And they need room for him.
Man, between Hamilton and Subban, how much money do they have tied up in not power play one defenseman right now? $20 million?
Yeah, plus.
Jesus.
And then they're trying to ship off a Damon Severson? Doesn't seem like the right move, but I mean, I guess I could get it.
Yeah,
I could,
it's possible. Understand it. Only one way to find out. We got to wait for that deadline. Between Sharangovich and Mercer, Sharangovich, whatever it is. I think so. Sharangovich, try eligible, but he's got power play two. Dawson Mercer.
Sounds like a dance.
Doesn't play left wing, but he's power play one. Sharangovich, almost 18 minutes. Mercer, 16 minutes. Like, you're splitting hairs at this point. They both have exposure to Jack Hughes. They're both shooting pretty good, like right around two a game. You can't go wrong with either. If you're in a deep enough league to take a look at these guys, 12 and 6%. What's the schedule for the Devils look like? Are we wasting all our breath? Yeah, they have. They're playing on heavy nights this weekend. But yeah, I just, you know, I wanted to highlight them. I think they're doing really well. How about LA? Top of the league in their last 10. 8-2-0.
Crazy, crazy, man. I don't like LA personally, just as there's no category for that in any of my pools, but there's a few players I definitely like on LA. It's the same guys it's been for me. I'm a big Adrian Kempe fan, and I think you are as well.
Yeah.
He's still sub 50%. He's got 6 goals in his last, 12 games, 11 games.
And I'm looking at Kaliev heating up right now, too. 4 points in his last 4. Yeah, Kempe, 47%. Arvidsson out right now, but he's 46%. He's week to week. Deno, 21%, right behind. Kopitar, who's leading the team in this 10-game stretch with 9 points. Trevor Moore right in there too, 9%. Some options.
Athanasio has actually taken over for RV while he's been out.
Yeah.
And he's definitely taken advantage of that extra ice time too, to the tune of what? Like, I think he has 3 goals in the last 2. I think Arvidsson went down on Sunday. Athanasio saw 2 goals that game and then 1 goal following up the next game. He's on that second line with Dano and Trevor Moore.
Yeah, 2 shots a game in the same span. So Athanasiu comes back for those 3 games and hopping right into it. 2% roster too. I don't know. I like this Trevor Moore. I don't buy the streak that he's on, but this, you know, 10 game streak for the whole team is on his back a little bit. And like, he's scoring a bunch of goals, shooting, and he's 9% rostered. So
there's been a couple of times this year when his name's come up. So he's poked his head up a couple of times into the into this realm. Season, I don't think I'll be drafting him next year or anything, but I think he's interesting. Like he's had a couple of stretches where he's been definitely worth a pickup. I think right now is one of them.
LA has they're one of the teams with three games left this week. Is that right? They got a couple against San Jose, and then they're going to see Florida on Sunday. They're playing on all the heavy nights, so is what it is, but I'm looking at those guys if I got room on my roster. Them and Jersey.
Just a side question while we're looking at LA here. Iafallo still plays, right?
Yeah, just a little bit cold. He's on the third line at this point.
Well, it's weird. So you guys are talking about the last 10 games and how everybody's doing well. But, you know, Jared Anderson Dolan being in a top line role has 0 points in his last million games. Alex Iafallo has, what, 1 point or something like that?
He's pretty cold. Pretty cold.
He's pretty cold. At least in his last five, he has 1 point. And he's not shooting, which is not like Alex Iafallo. Like, that's kind of his game. And he's getting decent time on ice. But yes, he is on that third line, but still on the first power play. Not getting the points where everybody else is.
All right, let's keep the train moving here and let's get into the mailbag. So this one's from Matt EC on the Discord here. He's asking, what can we realistically expect from Nick Ehlers on a Jets team that is not looking likely to make the playoffs? So remember, that's Matt saying that he doesn't think they're making the playoffs, not me. So I don't need any ads here. You can at Matt with the Toronto avatar. Throwing some shade at Winnipeg right now. I think they're flirting with the line. I don't know if they're going to make it or not, but they're definitely flirting. But what's our pulse on Ehlers? What are you guys thinking about Ehlers? Like, I'm rostering him. I dropped Duclair to bring him back onto my roster. So he's got three points in the three games since he's been back. He's also got 13 shots in three games. It's incredible. Time on ice isn't exactly there. Last game, he played 12 minutes, only had 2 shots. Game before that, he's playing close to 19. Game before that, he's playing 16. That was his first game back. So let's talk about what we expect for Ehlers rest of the way. Now, last year, he was, what, on an 80-point pace. This year, it's not looking so optimistic. Which Ehlers do you guys like?
Which team is he playing on? I mean, Winnipeg was a whole different team earlier in the season when he was there. They were just crashing, right? I mean, he's got 13 shots and 3 points in three games since coming back. So he's energized. Wheeler is playing hockey again. Connor is just doing Kyle Connor things all over the place. Well over a point per game. Shifley's back to well over a point per game. So I'm way more optimistic about Ehlers now than earlier in the season. I mean, the whole team was a pile of shit earlier. Wheeler had like 1 point in like 15 games at one point.
Yeah, I know, but they have him playing on the third line right now. Behind Evgeny Svechnikov. Like, what the fuck?
Hot as fuck.
And I'm not saying that he's not, but like, Ehlers is better than Svechnikov.
Yeah, I think in the long term, just play your hot hands and it makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, I don't know. I see him as like a 60 to 65 point guy. Like, that's where his pace is right now. That's what he's been most of his career. The 80 point season that he was on pace for last year looks more and more like a blip. You know, there was high IPP last year. There was a good amount of secondary assists. There was all those things that I was too blinded by excitement to really see. But I don't know, Svechnikov, I'm looking at his stats right now. He's got 6 points in a 4-game stretch, no points since then. Maybe things will change. He's got no points. He's a minus one in both those games. No shots either. Things could very quickly change. For Svechnikov and Ehlers.
I mean, he's also like 3% under his career shooting percentage this year. So even though I'll put it this way. Even though his points numbers compared to games played looks eerily similar to the rest of his career, if his shooting percentage was at his career average, he would be doing just fine. It's just a down year for shooting percentage. He hasn't had a shooting percentage under, you know, in the single digits, that is, since 2015-16.
Yeah, his rookie year. I don't know. The volume's up. I imagine everything kind of washes out as far as shots go. You know, maybe he hits 70-point pace, but I'm just not betting on it with the deployment that he has. I think there's going to be hot streaks. There's going to be cold streaks. I think it all evens out to right around that 65-point mark for Freelers.
Yeah, I just think from now to the end of the season is going to be a lot better pacing than previous to him going out. I mean, you look at the pace of everybody else on the team, is their pace has increased tremendously in that time. So I think he's going to be a big benefactor. I think from here on out, I bet he's at a 70-point pace from here to the end of the year.
Yeah, I like that. I can get behind that. Next question is from D. Stew. How do you guys decide? How do y'all decide who to bench on heavy nights? I think it's just a recency thing. You know, like you look at the last 14 days, you know, 2 weeks, whatever. Like you look how they've been doing, who their opponents are, plays really heavily into it for me. And I just play the matchups and the recent.
Hitting the nail on the head on this one, because that's exactly what I do. Like, it, number one, I'm looking at, first and foremost, how have you been playing in the last, you know, 7 to 10 days?
Yeah, what kind of streak are you
on? Number one. Number two, if, say, I have two guys in mind, one of them is playing, let's say, you know, Vegas, and the other is playing Detroit, I'm going to pick most likely the player that's playing Detroit, unless the other person is on some sort of crazy, ridiculous hot streak where they, you know, have 6 goals in 4 games. And it's like, well, I can't take them out.
I think it's important to have tiebreakers in place in your mind. So like Zach's saying, like, you know, if the matchup is, you know, really, really lopsided, that is your tiebreaker. And try not to play with your heart in this one. Like, you might like a player a lot that you really want to get them in, and, you know, you have a feeling that, you know, they break their cold streak today. Just try and be realistic. Like, have your tiebreakers, stick to them, generally go by the rank over the last 2 weeks or something like that, and just who's been playing better. Maybe that swings the tie.
The opposing goalie's streak can matter as well, right? Like, you get...
Yeah, that's a big one.
Some of those certain guys, like, I mean, our guy, Demko, is one of those guys. When he's on a heater, he's on a heater. And when he's on a cold streak, he's on a cold streak. And you can... There's certain times you don't want to take someone playing against Demko, and other times you absolutely do. So that's something I look at a lot is how streaky the goalie is. And there's certain goalies who never lose 2 in a row, right? Like, so yeah, I tend to look at opposing goalies quite a bit.
All right, we got Grizzlick My Balls. That's his username. He's curious, like, who our best pickup is, who our favorite player on our team is, and, like, who do you like watching, who do you root for the most, who do you find yourself gravitating towards, and who's been your worst drop? I'll kick it off, and I got Mo Sider. Mo Sider has been my best pickup. My worst drop is probably Jesper Bratt. He was one of those guys Zach and I were just passing back and forth, you know, streaming him in for 2 games, dropping, streaming him in, and then one of our league mates just snaps him up and keeps him. And my favorite player, who do I like watching on my team? Like, who do I root for the most? I mean, Fiala is up there, Boldy. Like, I get attached to some of these players in Minnesota, a lot of Minnesota. McKinnon's fun to root for.
My best ad, or my favorite ad, is probably Ryan Hartman, because I still am a Ryan Hartman fan. And jokingly, I said earlier that my worst drop was also Ryan Hartman. But I would say that my worst drop was probably Michael Bunting, because he was another one of those players that, you know, I definitely picked up more than once, and I dropped more than once. But, you know, somebody else picked him up, and then I never got a chance to pick him back up again. You flirt with it too much, and then you get screwed. As far as my favorite player to root for on my team is who we talked about earlier, Austin Matthews. Yeah. I am always rooting for Austin Matthews.
I have that feeling.
And I have, like, a lot of players that I actually like a great deal on my team, but I am rooting for Austin Matthews all the time.
Raj, how about you, man?
Got reminded earlier in the episode of who my best pickup was, and it was a classic me move where I managed to get Jack Hughes.
Well, your best pickup was probably like Alex Ovechkin.
Raj always has crazy luck.
Jack Hughes right at the start of when he started doing well. Nice. That was a legit one. The one, it was a total fluke for me, but I did manage to get Raymond and Sider right early in the season as well in a league where totally didn't know anything about them. I didn't expect Raymond to be amazing or anything. But
there's so many good rookies this year. There's so many. I love the rookie class.
Absolute money. Anybody that's picked up Kadri, Zach, I know you drafted him. I thought you picked him up, but yeah, anybody that's picked up Kadri, this is probably, that's a swish for you.
Smartest man alive.
All right. That wraps up those segments. And Zach, totally forgot about injuries. You want to take us in there and then we'll do the weekend preview.
Yeah. I was wondering if we were going to be doing the nurse's office at all. Okay. So we kind of actually started talking about some of these already. We brought up Victor Arvidsson, who's hurt. Also, there is Frederick Anderson, who is still on the shelves. The Canes don't play again until Thursday, which is, you know, tomorrow or today, if you're listening to this. And while Ranta has played well when we suggested him, it wasn't exactly against the likes of Colorado. So it's going to be a true test if Freddie can't go. And my guess is that the Canes will probably lose, but they are a really good team. Ranta is a solid goalie. Why? He's just no Freddie Anderson. We had talked about recently Anton Lundell. He gets hurt. They move Mason freaking Marchment to the third line and then replace him with Maxime Mamin on the first line. Also, Marchment can, you know, hold down that third line. And I get why they did it, but it pisses me off. Are you guys interested in a Maxime Mamin?
Still, like, being head and shoulders more interested in Marchment.
Yeah, I want Mason Marchment. Tyler Bertuzzi didn't practice today on Wednesday due to a non-COVID illness, but he should be there for their next game, so that shouldn't be too much of a problem. Phil the Hamburglar Kessel, he left Tuesday's game and flew back to Arizona because his wife was having a little baby, or a slider, if you will. So congrats to him.
Picking a blanket.
Is that too much?
You know, he played one shift. You know, he played one shift to keep his Iron Man streak going.
Yeah, that's just awesome. so that he could keep his Iron Man going, and then they flew him back on the team jet. So yeah, that is pretty cool. Last up here, I got Pavel Buchnevich. Mm. He's day to day with a concussion. Austin Watson went up high on him, and he did not receive even a penalty for this hit. And I watched it. I saw it. It was high. It should have deserved a penalty. And now he's out with a concussion. So I kind of think that's bullshit. St. Louis has, you know, three games to close out the end of this week. So it's going to get interesting here, especially considering Oscar Sundqvist is also out with an undisclosed injuries. And the Blues are definitely taking some hits here on the injury front, considering they are on a 4-game losing streak as we speak. Now, we do know that they do have a deep team, but these mix up in the lineup where, you know, we keep on changing people around between the first and the third lines and second line, you know, everybody's kind of playing with each other. It does seem to be taking its toll a little bit in the scoring department. They haven't gotten shut out in any of these losses, but they only have a combined 7 goals for these 4 games. That is 3 goals, 2 goals, and then two games where they only had 1 goal. So they're losing, and they're really not even looking decent doing it. So I am a little worried, but like I said, they do have that deep team. I think they're going to figure it out just fine. And I'm sure as a Binnington owner, you haven't exactly been loving it either, TJ.
No, and I, like, you know, Braden Schenn's kind of having a disappointing season a little bit. He's still floating right around where I'd expect him to be, 60, 65 points. But a lot of people are disappointed here. The shots have dried up a bit. The hits, not so much. And, you know, whatever. But Buchnevich being Schenn's line mate, I don't see great things for Schenn over the next little bit here. Like, that's going to be tough sledding.
Want to let everybody know, obviously, we talked about the Calgary Flames. I'm still in on Blake Coleman in a big way. He got me an assist last night. They play tomorrow and then on Saturday and Sunday. So I expect more points out of the man. He got me, you know, 1 point in 2 days, which I'm fine with. I wanted a point in each of those games, but it is what it is. I still do like Dan Vladar moving forward for the weekend. So that is something that I'm still in big time. I don't know if any of anything has changed for you.
I like Minnesota. I like the Winnipeg Jets here. Talked about those. We talked about the Islanders in the week preview. We talked about the Minnesota Wild in our week preview. But I think the Jets are a team that we didn't really cover. And I think they have a pretty good weekend here.
the thing about the Minnesota Wild is, you know, their top six is actually getting pretty highly owned by now. Like, everyone's in the 70s or higher, except for Matt Boldy, who's only 28% owned. Everyone else is probably tired of hearing us, you know, blowing Matt Boldy behind the bleachers. So,
well, I'll tell you, the Minnesota Wild aren't doing so hot. They're 3-7-0 in their last 10. Like, they're reeling
right now. I'll throw this out there, though. Marcus Foligno kicked some ass after I suggested him. He had a goal and two assists in his last game, but two hits. So,
yeah, he's doing it.
You know, luckily, you know, that third line isn't the worst third line in hockey. Joel Eriksson Ek is on there. So, I mean, they have an okay third line. But, yeah, I was happy about that Marcus Foligno pickup.
And then I think here in Winnipeg, if we wanted to go out on some of those guys like Adam Lowry, you know, they're scoring goals. He's got 21 shots. Four of them have been goals. Josh Morrissey, under 50% owned. He's got 3 points in his last seven. Stastny scoring a shit ton of goals, and he's 6% rostered. Svechnikov, 6 points in his last seven, 1% rostered. There's Andrew Kopp just came back. I love the way Andrew Kopp plays. He's tri-eligible. He's got 4 points in the four games. He's been back with 14 shots in these four games. Andrew Kopp is somebody definitely to look at going into this week, the weekend. And Brendan Dillon, if you're looking for bangs. So that's where I'm at right here with Winnipeg. I think there's plenty to be had. Whatever you're looking for. If you're looking for bangs, I like Dillon. If you're looking for everything, I like Andrew Kopp. You know, if you want to take a stab at some points, you got Stastny, you got Lowry. Stastny being, in my opinion, more believable.
Taking a stab at points, the man has 5 goals and 2 assists in his last 5 games.
He's point per game over there. Yeah, that's how that works.
He's over a point per game.
Well, point per game in his last 2 weeks, but yeah, he's been jam packing it.
You know, I'm a supporter of the Stast Master.
So let's get into trends. The first request here was for Nicholas Backstrom, and you know, he's having a down year. It's the worst points per game year of his career, and I think, you know, Kuznetsov is playing so well with Ovi, and Backstrom has not played a ton with Ovi. So I kind of chalk it up to that.
Been hurt a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that helps too. Like, you know, helps kind of keep those point totals down. But right now it's Kuznetsov playing almost exclusively with Ovechkin. And we all know that Backstrom's bread and butter are assists. Can't get them all in the power play. I think he's got, what has he got? Eight power play points, 5 power play points. Like it's nowhere near as much as I thought where he'd be, considering he's like 20 plus every single year. I don't know. Is there anything you guys have noticed with Backstrom? For me, it's just he's not.
Well, Backstrom has 8 power play points out of the 18 points that he does have. But I'm not going to lie. I'm not worried about a Nicholas Backstrom. Like, I know that he and Ovechkin obviously have, you know, a connection. So it's not something I'm not, you know, losing sleep over it, I guess is the way I'll say it.
Well, you got to be playing on the same line to connect with somebody you have a connection with. I know they share the power play ice, but
yeah, I don't know, man. Like Kuzi did definitely take the job. I've never honestly been that interested in a straight C who only gets assists. Yeah, I've never been high on Backstrom just for those couple of reasons. It's like he's kind of like a Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah, he's a tough own.
Right, like a Ryan O'Reilly where it's like fantastic real life hockey player, but it just doesn't quite lend itself to fantasy. I mean, if you're in a straight points league or something, but I don't know. He just hasn't played very much. He's only 25 games this season, so if he's playing, I think you can expect.
Yeah, tough in a Cats league.
I said he's been hurt.
What are you gonna 63 do? Point pace right now. I think that's. I'm betting the under on 63 points. Like I think he does better the rest of the way, but I just don't know by how much. Like he was 80 point pace last year, 79 points. I don't think we get there. I think maybe we flirt with 70. Like his shooting percentage is a little bit down, but he's had years like this before, so it's not really like out of the ordinary at this point. Like 10.4, you know, 2 years ago he had a 9.1, then there's like, you know, nines mixed in here and there. It just doesn't stick out. Next up, Zach, your guy, Craig Smith.
Yeah.
Craig Smith, 6 points in his last 3 games, 9 points in his last 7, 11 in his last 11.
Yeah.
5 of those 9 points in the last 7 games are goals. He had a hat trick on 4 shots, and then he had another 2 goals on 9 shots. This guy shoots, and that's what we love about him the most. Like, shoots a ton. His per 60s are great there, but he's getting like no power play time on ice at all.
He never does. It's just not his MO. They don't put him on the power play. He doesn't get power play time, but he still fucking shoots. He has, what, 19 shots on goal in the last five games? It's, you know, just under four shots a game. Simple math. That's simple, easy math, and I'm good at it. You know what else? I could do math on goals. He just scores a lot of them.
His stats in the last month, shots are close to four a game. He's getting just under 15 minutes average time on ice. One power play point, you know, so he is getting a little bit. IPP is 92%. He leads the team in on-ice shooting percentage. And, you know, he's doing well in the high danger chances department, so maybe that leads to those inflated percentages. But you look at his opponents, and this is where it started to, like, really make sense. LA, Columbus, Anaheim, LA again, San Jose, Seattle, Ottawa, the Islanders. There's a couple of good ones in there. You got the Rangers, you got Colorado, you got Vegas, kind of. But that's the one he had his hat trick against, Vegas. All of these teams, like LA, 2.9 goals against. Columbus, almost four. Anaheim, almost five. Seattle, four. It's been a really cushy last 10 games for Craig Smith. So that paired with the IPP, paired with the on-ice shooting percentage, like everything says, you know, don't buy into this point per game, Craig Smith. That sentence felt right. That sentence felt correct.
I'm not trading the farm for him or anything like that, but I mean, he's worth a pickup. And if anybody says he's not, you know, he's not, then you're wrong. Because it's also, look at it this way. Okay, so look at it this way. Even just for the next three games as it is, they're playing the Blackhawks twice. They're playing the Coyotes. They're playing the Wild, which is a hard game. But they have the Canadiens coming up and the Jets, who have been, you know, just giving up goals for free. Hellebuck can't, you know, let in less than four fucking goals a game all of a sudden, which sucks being a Hellebuck owner, but that's the way it is. So really, even for the next six games, they have one game that I really think is a hard game that, you know, it's going to be hard to score, and that's against the Wild, and that's just because they play a good team defense. None of these other teams do.
Well, and Minnesota's having a rough 10 games, too. Like, they haven't been playing too well either over the last month, so that might not even be a hard game. Craig Smith at 6% rostered right now. Like, sign me up.
They are playing the two hottest teams in the league, though, Arizona and Montreal. So
Montreal.
But we're not talking about yeah, I know. But the Coyotes are still giving up a ton of goals. They might score eight goals out of nowhere, but they're gonna let you score five or six.
I also like Craig Smith's like short term outlook. I do. And, you know, if you want to hold him, like if you're in a league, maybe 14 team, whatever, deep bench, whatever, Craig Smith looks really good down the stretch. Boston has a pretty nice playoff schedule for our playoffs. So check your playoff schedule, go to Dobber Hockey, use the schedule optimizer thing and just put your playoffs in there. So who plays the most games? Boston usually comes out on top over the last few years, and they usually have a pretty cushy schedule to end the year. So I think Smith is a really good look. Like DeBrusk, although he might get traded, is on line one right now and has put up six goals in his last seven games. He's at 19% rostered. He's more rostered than Craig Smith. Now, I get it. Craig Smith on line three. DeBrusk got exposure to Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand. But like both these guys, go pick them up. And even Eric Halla, 8 points in his last seven, 9% rostered. There's options here. Is it you that likes Colin Whitesack, or is that me? I can't remember. I think I like Connor Brown.
It's not me.
It's not you?
It's not me. It must be you.
No.
Connor Brown.
I get those
Connor
guys.
Connor Brown's a whole other story. Shit, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was all gray. So Colin White was brought up. He's got 5 points in his last six. Time on ice is not that great. And he's been on the ice for a ton of goals. He's getting a shit ton of power play time at this point. And what's it? It's four of his 6 points over the last stretch here are power play points. So what do we think about Colin White lately? Like, unpack everything about him. Not great time on ice, good power play time on ice. Third line, I think it is. The line mates are the best. Like, what do we think?
I think that he doesn't shoot.
Yeah.
I think that his time on ice is shitty in general. Mm-hmm. I think that he helps a little bit on hits and blocks, but just a little bit. I'm not in on Colin White. I don't see their power play continuing to be as good as it is. So all of those power play assists that he's getting, because that's what he's getting fucking assists.
He got one power play goal.
Woo-wee! Woo-wee!
Yeah. I don't see this one.
Yeah, he mixed in a goal every now and then, you know what I mean? Come on, yeah, get the hell out of here. No, I'm not in on Colin White.
Yeah, I don't like the long term here. Career average 2.58 goals for, like, he's on the ice for 2.58 goals per 60. Since he's been back, it's 4.7. So he's seeing a lot of goal action. Goals are going in for him right now and his line mates. I think that cools down. Heads up, Colin White, ranking this one unsustainable. Raj, this one's all you, bud. Like, Tanner Pearson, Vancouver 7-3-0 in their last 10. Pearson scoring a ton. Vancouver scoring a ton. They are top of the league in this 10-game span with 4.4 goals per game. What do you got on Tanner Pearson? Like, how's he been looking?
Great. I mean, he's been one of my favorite streamers for a bit, for a couple of years. He's just kind of the least exciting, but just sort of just decent all-around player. But since Bruce has been here, he's lit a fire under his ass and basically the whole team. But Pearson's back on track. He's definitely not a point per game player, so don't expect that. But he's solid. Like, he's a solid streamer level player when he's playing like this.
How long's the leash?
Game or two max. Like, this is as good as he will ever be, and the rest of his career is right now. So
he's peaking.
I'm picking him up for a daily stream and then dropping him once the games start.
The nice thing about him is, I guess it's a nice thing in some ways, is he's like, he'll get you maybe an assist, maybe a goal, some shots, some hits, some blocks. He's never
just a little pump and dump.
Some stats. He's just some stats. Like, he's never much of anything.
But yeah,
he's decent. Don't bet the farm on Tanner Pearson, though.
80% IPP in this span. He's shooting 26%. On ice shooting is 12%. I think you guys can see where I'm headed here. So pump and dump. Done deal. All right. So people are bitching about William Nylander, man. I don't know. He's got 7 points in his last 10. He's shooting 21% too. So I don't see it. Maybe it's just Leaf fans that are disappointed he's not getting 2 points per game like fucking Austin Matthews or whatever. But like, I don't know. I don't know what we're complaining about here with William Nylander. So if somebody's got, you know, strong feelings on this one, feel free to chirp me. But I did not feel the need to dig into this one. I'm sorry.
He's fine.
He's been fine.
He's fine, and he's leading the team in power play points in the last month, actually, oddly enough, which is kind of weird. Like, Matthews is getting all these goals, and Toronto's power play sucks ass. Could you imagine if they get that together? In Matthews' last 24 points, only four of them are power play points. So if Toronto can get their power play together, I mean, Nylander is leading the team with five in the last month, but fuck, I don't know what anyone's complaining about with him. He's fine. The only thing you could say is he's not keeping pace with Austin Matthews right now, I guess, which isn't a slight, really.
Dude, but you also have to look at it this way. Like, he has 7 points in his last 10 games. And before, you know, the last three games where Tavares has a goal and an assist and two out of the past three, before that, he had 14 games in a row where he hadn't scored a goal. So you'd have to think that being on a line with Tavares, you are going to get some auxiliary points just from Tavares scoring goals, which he didn't do for 14 games in a row. So if he's still scored 7 points in the last 10 games, I think William Nylander is doing just fine for having a centerman that wasn't helping out on the goal scoring. Had John Tavares scored even, let's say, 3 goals in those 16 games, which I still think would have been low on average, you know what I mean? You'd think that he would have at least gotten one or two of those, been on one or two of those goals. Like, don't tell me that can't be true. John Tavares being on a slump definitely affected him, and it hardly affected him.
Yeah.
William Nylander is perfectly fine. If you don't want him, you can trade him to me.
I think he's doing all right.
He's on a 75-point pace. Like, what did you think he was going to do? That's exactly where he should be at, in my opinion.
That one's put to rest. Next, we got Rob Thomas. He's doing good. Threw a 5-shot game in there, which, you know, has me slowly turning the tides on Rob Thomas, but I think I've dug myself too deep here that I don't think I'm allowed to like him anymore. But that 5-shot game was against Montreal. He had a 4-shot game against Ottawa. He had a 3-shot game against Philly. He had a 0-shot game against Buffalo. And then over the last 5-6 games, he has 3 shots. So, and 2 points. I don't know if we're back to the Robert Thomas I know, but everything seems congested right around this Ottawa, Montreal, and Toronto, and Philly. Like, that's where he got 7 points in 4 games against those 4 opponents. So I really do think it is just condensed against bad teams.
Yeah, this sounds like a bed of lies here for Robert Thomas, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think he's really good against bad teams.
Right.
You know, and then he played Ottawa again just yesterday, and he had 0 shots, went -1, and did literally nothing else. And then he played New Jersey, had 0 shots, 1 hit, 1 block. I don't know. I feel like Robert Thomas is leveled out. He had that huge blip against Toronto, yeah, but he had Philly, Montreal, Ottawa. He feasted. And I think that is what's throwing off all the averages when you're shopping on your waiver wire or looking to drop somebody and looking at the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. But Rob Thomas, what's he on? I don't even want to look. I think it's like a 70-point pace, and that just hurts my feelings. 70-point pace. I am going to bet the under. Gonna do it. I think this like most recent stretch has skewed his stats a little bit, but I don't think by much. I got him at 65.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about something. Our old boy Labushkin.
Oh yeah,
7 hits last night.
Big bangs for him, man. Big bangs.
He's getting some decent minutes in Toronto, and they're gonna be the sole purpose they got him for is bang. So that's a guy. If you're ever looking for hits in the near future, he's going to be getting a lot of hits.
I'm down for it. I like him. I like him a lot. Labushkin. Yeah.
He has a really hard last name to spell. Labushkin has 17 vowels in it.
Did we want to touch on the weekend preview at all anymore? Like, there's a ton of back-to-backs if we're thinking 0G. Like, just Thursday and Friday. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 back-to-backs. Vegas. We're looking at Brossoit, probably against Buffalo. Columbus is going to have the Islanders and the Wild, which, you know, might not be as hard of a back-to-back as you think. The Wild themselves have Detroit, which we already talked about Kakinen on that game. We like him there. The Islanders have, you know, you maybe have Sorokin going up against Columbus, or Sorokin going up against Winnipeg.
Yeah, but Sorokin's probably 90-something. Yeah.
So you got Varley against Columbus, which I think Varley is right around 50%.
I mean, I will say I still do like Ronta. We kind of talked about him a little bit earlier. I do expect Freddie Anderson to be back soon. So I think that Ronta's only going to get a piece of this weekend.
Philly.
Now, he might play, you know, Colorado. He may play tomorrow, but he'll get another one of those games on the weekend most likely. Because especially with them, you know, being pretty solidified into that top spot, at least for now, they're going to want to give Freddie some time off, which it seemed obvious that they're going to. So I also like Rantanen.
I like Ranta against Philly. Like, you know, they can play him on Saturday and kick the can down the road, give Freddie another day to get ready for the Pittsburgh game. That makes sense to me. So I like him against Philly too.
Man, I was so happy to see Spencer Knight the other night. Wasn't everybody else? I can only imagine y'all were. Dude, he had a 967. Spencer Knight's shit.
All right, I'm calling curtains here, boys. It's 11 p.m. Been up since 4:30. Fuck my job. Last day is Sunday. Love you guys. That's it for us. We're on Twitter, FHF Hockey, and we're in the Discord. After Sunday, I'll be in there a lot more. So, love you. Bye.
Love you.
Love you.